Back together again with you, Midweek Wednesday style, July 27th, 2022, right here on Connecticut Today. We chatted about the previous night's Connecticut GOP U.S. Senate debate and the future in general of Republican candidates in the state. Sacred Heart University Department of Government Chairman Dr. Gary Rose stopped by to offer his thoughts on that GOP debate as well. Did you watch the debate last night? I was in and out of it. Listen, as somebody mentioned on the show yesterday, a caller said, you know, really, a debate of that import on opposite the Yankees and the Red Sox? I get it. I understand. I'm sorry, the Yankees and the Mets? I get it. I understand it. I got it. Well, whatever. So listen, what I'm going to do today throughout the show, and we'll start in a few minutes here, I will replay segments of it. News 8 has done a nice job of cutting down the debate last night. Of course, this is the Connecticut Republican U.S. Senate debate, which a lot of folks were kind of interested to see, waiting on, maybe with bated breath. They've cut it down into small 4 to 5 minute digestible chunks, if you will. So I'll get to some of those later on in the show. If you saw it, what did you think? I watched a lot of the highlights, read the transcript. Listen, it is what it is. Debates are what they are. I think debates, and this is only my opinion, this is just your humble old gum flapper here talking here. I think debates in a primary situation like we have right now, when it's a run-up to a general election and you have candidates on either side of the aisle, Democrat or Republican, trying to focus in and trying to appeal to the base of the party, those are a lot more interesting. I think final round debates, when it's a D and an R versus each other for the Senate or for the presidency or some other office, frankly, I think a lot of those debates are boring. Honestly, I wonder if they actually change any minds. I mean, I don't know. I've never had a debate change my mind on a candidate. Now, as most people will tell you, and we've seen this throughout the years, especially on the national scene, you know, debates can hurt you more than help you, at least when you get to the general election scenarios. We hearken, of course, to, you know, a lot of famous lines in national debates, you know, the Ronald Reagan line, the comeback line against Walter Mondale when Mondale brought up Reagan's age. They knew that was going to happen if you read books about that. So they had a line already that was kind of a, you know, underhanded batting practice pitch. They knew that was coming. The line that the Gerald Ford delivered years ago about, you know, Poland not being under communist domination, and that wasn't good. So, yeah, these things are they can hurt you more than they can help you. But the kind of debate we had last night was interesting, where you're appealing to the minority party in the state. And I know a lot of people don't like to admit it, but let's face it. The Republican Party is and has been for years, if you go strictly by the numbers. I'm not talking about ideas, and I'm not talking about influence, and I'm not talking about better ways to maybe do things. But if you go strictly by ideas, the Republican Party right now in the state is the minority party in the state. The GOP, the Connecticut GOP, is the second party in the state. Doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't have a viable say on some issues, but it is what it is. You call it for what it is and the numbers. And within that, we had three candidates last night that were some interesting stuff. And nothing really out of the ordinary. You had Peter Lumage, who was to the right of Themis Claridis, and you had Lior Levy, again, to the right of Themis Claridis, and you'll hear in some of the answers, nobody is kind of pulling punches on where they stand on stuff, and you had them pretty much saying, hey, they are, you know, more conservative on issues than Themis Claridis, who is the party-endorsed candidate. And okay, I get that. That's probably not... up for debate. The thing, though, that makes me wonder, and it's not just on the Republican side, it's on the Democratic side as well, because believe me, they have problems there as well, trying to win elections in conservative parts of the country. You know, there's that old phrase, read the room, right? If you're a public speaker, if you're a comedian, stand-up comic, if you're somebody that you have to, you're in a position where you have to appeal to a large amount of people. You have to get them into what you're saying. The old thing, you know, read the room, understand the audience, tailor your stuff for the audience. And sometimes the room reading between a primary situation and a general election situation is a lot different than what's in the minds of these candidates. And the funny thing is, I wake up this morning and, you know, I see a lot of stuff on social media, particularly on Facebook a lot of these political sites I belong to. I don't participate a lot, but I just like to sit back on mornings like today, you know, these post-debate mornings, and see what the general vibe is, you know? And I see things like, and again, I'm not telling you who to vote for. It's none of my business who you vote for. It's none of your business who I vote for. Sometimes I volunteer that info. Some I don't. I'm not one of these, never tell people who you vote for. Oh, the heck with that. I'm not, you know, this isn't 50 years ago. But having said that, I am, and this morning was no different. There's kind of resigned to what I saw after that debate last night, and it kind of makes me scratch my head with the way some registered Republicans in this state, some observers of politics in this state, sometimes I wonder what the, with all due respect to some of these people, sometimes I wonder what the, well, you know that old phrase, that old question, rhetorical, of course, what color's the sky in your world? Like on a clear day, is the sky blue in your world? Because it's certainly blue in mine. And, you know, I read some of this stuff online and just kind of these general comments from people. Oh, electing Themis is like electing a Democrat. Well, really? Only Peter Lumage can beat Dick Blumenthal. Only Leora Levy can beat Dick Blumenthal. Really? And maybe they can. I'm not saying they can. But, you know, it's a lot of people in the state, and particularly a lot of, you know, conservative voters and Republicans in this state. I'm wondering, what color's the sky in your world? You know, read the room. Where are you getting your mushrooms? Where are you buying that pot? And it's amazing to see the reaction of people who are likely going to be primary voters in this state, especially on the Republican side, who don't take off their, I guess because they're Republicans, don't take off their red color, their rosy red colored glasses, and understand where you are. And I've said this for years and years and years doing these shows, and I've been right. And I'm not going to stop saying it. You cannot run a Republican in Connecticut and win with that Republican speaking like they're in Alabama or Mississippi or Georgia or Florida or Texas or Arkansas. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. This is a blue state. And although there was nothing really what I would term earth-shattering in the debate last night, in the debate last night, the reactions to me online by some people I know and some people I don't know, I just kind of sit there and giggle. You know? There's no way I'm voting for Themis Claridis because she's too liberal. Okay, then the party's probably going to lose. It's probably going to lose anyway. But do you realize where you live? See, over the years, I've encountered people in my side jobs and in doing stuff like this where you hear people say, well, we just have to better instruct them of conservative values and conservative and Republican-leaning plans and policies. And I sit there and say, no, they've heard it all. It's a blue state. They don't want it. They don't want it. Take off the glasses. Read the room. They don't want it. You know what? Here's the thing. 50% plus one in this state, when they're polled every 2 or 4 years, will 90% of the time, or 95% of the time, they're going to vote for Democrats. It's what it is. To quote the the great philosophers, like Bruce Hornsby said down through the years, that's just the way it is. So I'll get you some debate chunks in a little bit. But people, wake up. Trying to out-conservative one conservative or another, it doesn't work here in Connecticut. It does not work. Ask yourself, riddle yourself this, Batman. When was the last time a doctrinaire, down-the-middle, hard conservative won anything in this state? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Take your head out of the sand. It has to be a moderate to win. And if you don't want to vote for that person, that's fine. But don't complain when the harder conservative you nominate loses. We replayed a few of these segments. We replayed about maybe half of the total debate last night between Lior Levy, Themis Claridis, and Peter Lumage, the U.S. Senate debate for the Republican nomination. Chiming in on that and more right now, one of our go-to guys, Dr. Gary Rose, Sacred Heart University Department of Government Chairman. Gary, good afternoon, sir. Thank you once again for coming on. We always appreciate it. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fine, Paul. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. A lively exchange last night. Gary, I'm not sure it really may have changed minds. I mean, you and I know it's tough to get into the minds of people that vote, especially in primaries. What'd you think?
Yeah, we're gonna see low turnout on August 9th. However, I will say this, that, heading into this this debate, there's very little doubt that Themis Claridis was the front runner, and she probably still is. I still would have to see a poll on that. But I will say that Lumage, as well as Levy, I as I was watching it, I was thinking, this is about a closed primary that's coming up on August 9th, and it's going to be very low turnout. And I'm thinking, who are the people that are actually going to be voting? And it will be most likely conservative Republicans. And while, Themis Claridis is not completely, a moderate on all issues, she is conservative on some. There's no question in my mind, though, that the other two candidates, Lumage and Levy, are coming across probably in the minds of some of these conservative Republicans are going to be voting as individuals who really are speaking their language on issues like gun control and, of course, abortion and some other issues. And so I felt that the two conservatives kind of, ruled the night compared to Claridis.
And Gary, I played segments first hour and heading into you here, and I did think that you're right. The two clearly were presenting themselves as more conservative. And, Peter Lumage, I do give him credit because he does not tap dance or soft shoe about the fact of his immigration story, the way he came here. He's talked about himself being an unwavering conservative and also boasted, and people maybe, Gary, tend to forget that he's gotten a lot of votes statewide in a general election previously.
Yeah, when he ran for Secretary of State as a Republican candidate, that's what he was alluding to last night. And he has run for some other offices, too. Now, there are those who think, Peter Lumage just kind of runs for whatever seems to be, the office of the day. But at the same time, you're right. He actually does have a statewide data bank, I suggest, I suspect he does, and he does have name recognition, and, Levy is a newcomer completely. I mean, she basically raised a lot of money and got on the Republican National Committee as a result of it, but she does raise a lot of money, and that's important. But Lumage, you know, of the three, it did seem like Lumage was more of the statesman, you know, and he did point out that Levy has flipped on some issues before, and he hasn't, and so I think that he did actually very, very well last night.
Yeah, Gary, you know what? We're going to give you a call back, Gary. You got a little static on that line, so we'll get back to you in just a moment. Dr. Gary Rose is the guest here, as we'll be back with him and more analysis of the debate last night. Traffic and weather together right here on WICC. 203-333-9422-333 WICC. That's the number. When we get back to open phones in just a bit, a few more minutes here with one of our go-to guys, our local authorities on all things politics, world, national, and local, Dr. Gary Rose, chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Sacred Heart University. Gary, you'll enjoy this. This popped into my email, Gary, literally like 2 minutes before we talked here. I'll read you the first paragraph.
Okay.
This is from, but you'll know where we're going here. This is from the Levy campaign. And it's a news release, and Gary, you know this, but a lot of people may not know. All the campaigns after, you know, these debates all put out releases and say they won, oddly enough. They won. So this is the Levy opening paragraph here, Gary. Quote, Tuesday evening, the two campaigns for the Republican nomination in Connecticut were on full display at the only televised debate, blah, blah. After several instances in which her opponents parroted one another's false talking points, comma, Leora Levy, a conservative outsider, comma, alluded to collusion in her remarks both during and after the debate, saying, quote, there may be three candidates, but only two campaigns in the race for U.S. Senate, unquote.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it's amazing, Gary. Everybody wins every debate.
Yeah, I remember she was mentioning that last night, that it did seem to her, at least,
yeah.
I didn't see it, but to her, that Lumage was basically supporting, in some respects, Thames, and that it was now two against one. But nevertheless, I didn't see it that way. I still felt that there were three very distinct candidates up there, and that it with one being a very, very strong conservative, and the other apparently a conservative who has become more conservative compared to where she was before, and then the very middle of the road candidate. I didn't see any collusion, and that was, I know, a talking point that she had.
What do you think, Gary? What do you think the party hierarchy is thinking today? I mean, we know what they would say publicly, and they've got to kind of play it down the middle. You know, I know some of the state Republican people, and, you know, they've told me, hey, we're going to have a primary. That's how the process works. But what do you think they're really thinking after watching that night, last night?
Well, I think that Ben Proto and company and people on the, the state committee are absolutely hoping that Thames Claridis wins this primary on August 9th, because really when you really look at the lay of the land here in Connecticut, large number of independents will be voting in the general election, and even though independents do tend to lean to both parties, nevertheless, I am certain that people on the State Central Committee and Ben Proto are thinking there is no way that Leora Levy or Peter Lumage can beat Dick Blumenthal. The only one who can come within striking distance is Thames Claridis. So I'm sure they're hoping that she wins this primary.
You know, Gary Rose, we are seeing some Republican money, at least for digital advertising, trickling into the 5th District between Johanna Hayes and George Logan. The Cook Political Report had the 5th as a statistical toss-up. Assuming Themis, and we, you know, what happens when we assume, but assuming she wins the primary a week from this coming Tuesday, can you see the National Party sinking money into this race? I mean, I don't know, Richard Blumenthal's numbers, with all due respect to him, they weren't that great in the last polling round.
Yeah, I do think there's that distinct possibility. He was only 10 points ahead of her in the latest poll that at least I saw. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if there is a substantial amount of effort from the national committee to really, you know, jump into this race and to help Famous. And so, sure, it is a federal race, and I'm sure that the Senate Campaign Finance Committee and possibly even the National Republican Committee could start pouring some money in to help her. And she's going to need that help, too, because, I mean, there is a super PAC, you know, that is starting to come to her assistance. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Dick Blumenthal has, the last time I looked, over $8 million, you know, sitting there ready to go in cash. And so she's going to need help from the national committees. And I think they will come to her aid, because I think they feel that this is possibly an investment that will have dividends. Yeah,
if not now, in the future. And Gary, one last thing. How do you think, if you're in Dick Blumenthal's campaign, and you know they can carpet bomb the campaign with money, you just said that, $8 million bucks to about $500,000 for Themis right now, but how do they campaign against her? Because she's not really all right wing. She is pro-choice. She did favor some gun legislation. It's going to be interesting to see, Gary, what they do. I mean, do they try and tie her to Trump, or, you know, stamp her with that extreme thing, which she is? And well, I'm anxious to see what they might do here.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that myself, and I am certain that even though she did not support Trump in any shape or form, in fact, she didn't vote for, she actually voted, I think, for Cafaro,
Larry Cafaro,
minority leader, yeah, in the last election. And but they will, without a doubt, try to demonstrate, as what the Democratic Party always does, against the Republican, whether the Republican is conservative or moderate. And in this case, she's a moderate Republican. I'm sure they're going to try to demonstrate that she is, you know, a little too extreme for the U.S. Senate, and that she will be working with Mitch McConnell if elected, and that, you know, and no doubt at all, she'll probably end up supporting, you know, a law banning abortion in the country. Oh, they're going to really come right at her with all of those issues. So they're going to try to paint Famous Claritas as as somebody who can't be trusted and who is is probably a closet extremist, and they're very good at doing that, and I'm sure that that's what's coming should she win this primary.
Yeah, I've been named a closet extremist before, Gary, and it just doesn't stick with me. I don't know this whole closet extremist thing. As always, Dr. Gary Rose, Sacred Heart University, we appreciate your input. Thanks, Gary, and we'll talk.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Yes. People have said to me, I used to get letters at other radio stations. I'm tired of your extreme language. You're nothing but a racist. Okay, whatever. Dr. Gary Rose, chair of the Politics and Government Department at Sacred Heart University. Go Pioneers.